This morning, we want to study from the prophetic scriptures and from other scriptures and from the Torah portion. I want you to pray with me in the Hebrew and in English. So repeat after me, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, Vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Did you bring your Bibles today? Yes? Can I see your Bibles? Excellent. Did you bring your digital Bibles too? Who's digital today? Wow,
it's great.
Who has two or more Bibles with them? I have another one in my iPad. I actually have more than a dozen Bibles on my digital versions because I want to have different versions to look at and to study the Hebrew, Greek, et cetera, et cetera. It's always good to come prepared to study the Word of God. And you are more like the Bereans if you open up your scriptures and you compare what we're studying for yourself. If you look for yourself, and you'll be more like them too if you go home and you study the scriptures. One of the best ways to be prepared for study is to read in advance what we're going to cover. That's why we publish in advance the Torah portion, Haftorah, and Brit HaChadashah portions that we will be reading from. And I encourage you to participate in that. There's a great blessing in coming prepared. And you will get more out of it if you put more into it. We have been reading the last few weeks from Haftorah portions from the prophets that are the Haftorah readings of comfort that are meant to comfort us as we're humbling ourselves before God, acknowledging that we need him, confessing our sins in preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as we're entering into preparatory repentance. We can find ourselves even ashamed of ourselves, and we can find distance because of the separation that sin makes in our life between us and our God. And the portions from Isaiah that we've been reading over the last few weeks are meant in part to comfort us in order to bring us back and to encourage us to continue in a life of repentance, knowing this, that our God is faithful to us. And so we read week after week from different sections in Isaiah during this time, but there is one particular portion, a few verses that are not read any longer, and I actually want to pay attention to these and to encourage all of us to read these. So you can turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to look at a few verses here. And while we're doing that, if you have a digital Bible or you have a paper Bible, I guess you can do that too. I want to encourage you as well to find your place in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, because we're going to look at a few verses there that connect to this passage. So in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Now, do you know what the Hebrew word is for the anointed one? Mashiach, that's right. And do you know that when the translators of the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, were looking for a word to use instead of Mashiach, a Greek word, do you know what Greek word they chose The word was Christos. And so Jewish translators picked Christos to translate the Hebrew word Mashiach. This was done some 300 years prior to the birth of Yeshua. And so at the time of Messiah, when Gospels were written, in some cases in Greek, they picked the same language and the same vocabulary, and they would call Mashiach Christos in Greek. So that's some background. Verse 1 says, "The Lord has anointed me," and it's using a form of the word Mashiach, the word Mashach, "the Lord has anointed me." What has he anointed me for? Let's look. "To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Now, with that in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And as we're getting ready to read from this passage, I want to give you some background. Do you know what happened immediately prior to this moment when it says Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee? Let me remind you, if you don't remember, Yeshua went out into the wilderness and he was tested. He went out into the wilderness and he had a spiritual confrontation with the adversary who was tempting him in all matters. And Yeshua stood his ground and resisted the devil, and the devil fled. Now, this gives us a picture of what victory looks like for you and for me. Because if it happened to him, it will happen to you. There will be times of testing for you, times of difficulty, and they are not meant to be the times of defeat. They are meant to be the times where you stand firm in your faith in God and in the Word of God. And during those times, as you stand firm and you experience your dependence on God, you will find that your faith becomes stronger. You will find that your love for God and your appreciation for Him is also strengthened. And so you learn something, that the rough times on this journey have a purpose. They have a purpose of building us up, not tearing us down. They have a purpose in God that is different than the adversary's purpose. You see, the adversary wants to destroy, but God wants to strengthen. God wants to renew you. He wants to make you more powerful. Now, what you might not realize in the times of testing is that through that testing and the strength that you get, you will be prepared for what happens next. The great problem that we can face is this. During the time of testing, we don't realize God's at work too. And we may think that our present circumstances will be our future condition. We may think that what we're going through right now is what we will be like and how we will live in the future. In fact, the present challenges and the present circumstances are meant to draw you close. They're meant to refine you. They're meant to purify you, to strengthen you. They're meant to develop your faith, your character, the qualities that are most dear to you and that you will love the most. Even the fruit of the Spirit is developed in you during these times of testing. I'll give an example. Patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't you wish it was a gift of the Spirit? Don't you wish you could just pray, "Lord, pour out that gift of patience"? But it's not. It's a fruit, and fruit has to be developed. It takes time. Endurance is another fruit of the Spirit, to persevere. You know how you persevere? by going through hard times and not giving up. You strengthen yourself by not giving up in the day of difficulty. I went back to the gym recently. I took a few months off. And my friend, Sergey, my trainer from Moscow, he sent word via friends that I was already in atrophy. And he knows me very well, and he knew I would hate that word. And of all the things that could motivate me, that really motivated me. And so I decided to humble myself and go back to the gym. I had to clear my schedule. That was very difficult to do. But as I was making that decision, I understood that I lost some strength that I had developed. In fact, on Friday, he had me do just a simple exercise, bicep curls, which may not mean much to some of you. How many of you have done bicep curls? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Well, he set the weight, and I was doing it, and I did three sets, and I was achy after it, and I looked at the weight, and it was about 30% below what I had been doing. And I got up, I was so disgusted. And I looked at the machine, and I said to Sergey, "That's pitiful," because that's how I felt. And he just made noises and smiled. He was like, He was trying to encourage me. I can't say it worked. But I had made a decision, even if I had moments where I thought, I'm behind, I lost strength, I was committed to regaining and to going beyond that. You see, that's part of what it takes to get strong in any way. And as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. Now, you can't get stronger by a gift. There have been times when I offered my trainer money to lift the weights for me. He showed me, he demonstrated an exercise. I said, "I'll give you $5 if you'll do it instead of me." He just smiled. No one can get strong instead of you. You have to get strong for yourself. No one can develop character or faith instead of you. You have to develop your own. No one can do the confrontations that are sometimes necessary in the spirit. Others can stand in the gap for you, but you still have to learn to fight for yourself. You have to learn to put on the armor, the spiritual armor, yourself, and to use it. You have to learn to read the scriptures and study the scriptures. You have to learn to pray. People can pray with you. They can pray for you, but that will never take the place of you having your own active prayer life. People can teach you, but that will never take the place of you studying yourself. Each one of us has to do some things ourselves, and yet God is always with us. And even when we do everything that we can and everything we must, we will find that we need him through life's challenges, and we need him for his redemptive power and for his goodness. Now, Yeshua went through the battle in the desert. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it tells us that he came out of that battle in the power of the Spirit. How would you like that to be true about yourself for the battles you're in right now? How would you like to come out of this battle in the power of the Spirit? Are you in favor of that? I want to speak to you about that because I think that's what God wants to do for you. That's what he wants to encourage you in. He wants you to get that into your heart and into your mind so that that becomes your goal and your focus, and you will be unrelenting in pursuit of that goal too. Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified or honored. That's probably a better translation, being honored by all. So this tells us something. When you come through the battle and you come out in the power of the Spirit, there is a favor that will rest on you that you did not have before. That will enable you to proceed in ministry in a way you could not have prior to that. He taught in the synagogues, being honored by all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is his hometown. And as was his custom, I want you to say that with me, as was his custom. There are two parts to his custom, I believe, here. He went to the synagogue on Yom Shabbat. That's part one. So he went to synagogue on Saturday morning. That was his custom. And I think the second part is this. And it was his custom to stand up and read. You see that? As I understand it, this phrase, as was his custom, applies to both parts. Going to synagogue and standing up to read. And so this gives us a picture that Yeshua was one of the customary, one of the regular readers during the Torah service, reading from the scrolls, reading Haftorah, reading Torah. And I want to encourage all of you who are part of that ministry, when you're participating in that ministry, you're doing something Yeshua did. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, this is verse 17, was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. Interesting synagogue custom, isn't it? Because now we'll unroll everything and have it set up for you. But in this case, Yeshua unrolls the scroll, and he finds a certain place. This is what was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what place did he find? Isaiah. And you know, chapters are something that we've added to the text. They're not in the text themselves. So what chapter would it have been? 61. And what verse would it have been? Verse 1. That's correct. You see, he starts reading from the very passage that we read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's anointed me. That's what he said. He's anointed me. Why would Yeshua say that? Because he was the anointed one. How do you say the anointed one again? That's right. In Hebrew and in Greek, how do you say it? Christos. That's right. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them. So he stood up to read, and then he sat down to speak. And he said, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And that helps us learn something. What does it mean for something to be fulfilled? It does not mean that the thing comes to a conclusion and an end and is no longer going to happen again. What it means is the thing is coming to its fullness. Today, this scripture has come into fullness in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, because he said much more. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And he said to them, well, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we've heard that you did at Capernaum, Kfar Nahum, do here in your hometown as well. And then he talks about a difficult process that people are not always received well, even in their own hometown. But I want to focus on something. I want to focus on this text that Yeshua read aloud and said was coming into fullness. I want you to go back to Isaiah 61. And I want you to think about the present conditions of people who were in trouble that are described in this passage. The first group, the poor. Say that with me. The poor. The second group, the brokenhearted. Say that with me. The brokenhearted. The third group, the captives. Say that with me. The captives. The next group, it says, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So let's just say prisoners. Prisoners. And then jumping down to the end of verse 2, where it says, comfort all who mourn. The next group are those who mourn. Let's say those who mourn. And those who have ashes. Say that with me. Those who have ashes. And it repeats it. Those who are in mourning. And those under the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. Yeshua comes forward. And he reads these words from Isaiah. And he, in a way, he's saying, is anybody heavy today? Is anybody poor today? Is anybody in trouble? Is anybody grieving today? Now, if that's all he wanted to know is, how much trouble do you have? And he was going to leave it at that, it really wouldn't be very helpful, would it? But he has a message for all those people. So ask yourself this. Anyone poor, anyone brokenhearted, anyone feel captive or bound, a prisoner of something, anyone mourning a loss, anyone who feels like what they've got are ashes or heaviness. These are the ones Yeshua wanted to speak to. And as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, as we're preparing for the new year, we need to pay attention, we can pay attention ourselves to our own condition, to the trouble that we face, to the needs that we have, and we can decide for ourselves, what are we going to do and how are we going to view this life? If you are thinking, the present difficulty that I'm in, this is going to be my future as well, this is what Yeshua wants to speak to. He wants you to understand something. Where you are right now does not define where he can bring you to. He wants you to understand something. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And it is important for you not to give up, but it's important for you to continue in the journey. Moses speaks in the Torah portion about all those who are standing before the Lord, this is in Deuteronomy 29, that these are the ones God is making a covenant with. And then he says, it's not just you who are standing here now, but those who aren't here, those who will be here by implication, and also by implication, those who went before you. Many went before you and prepared the way. Many will come after you and build on whatever accomplishments you have. Your children, your family will depend on what you pass on to them. And it is important that you remain standing. It is important that you take the words to heart that were given in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of those with whom you will have to do battle. Be strong and courageous. There's someone sitting near you who needs to hear that. Can you tell them? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified. You can tell them that. Don't be afraid or terrified. And here's the reason. The Lord your God goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. God is faithful. Be strong and courageous. Now, Paul takes this idea, and this is where we really want to bring our focus to and our conclusion. In Ephesians 6, he takes all of this, and he helps us focus again on the battle. Moses says, there's a battle coming. Be ready. Paul says in Ephesians 6, there's always a battle. It's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that requires spiritual armor and spiritual weapons. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says this, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And in the strength of his might. Where will you get your strength from? The Lord. Exactly. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. I'll remember the name of the Lord my God. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. God's full armor. So that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the adversary. You know the adversary has schemes. He showed them to Yeshua. Yeshua stood firm. Paul's saying, if you want to stand firm, you need the full armor of God. Now, I'm not here today to teach you about the full armor, just to point out the need for it. And if you discover you don't know enough about it and don't have enough experience, you come tell me, and we'll arrange a time and help for you to learn about the armor of God. But this is a reminder, put on that armor, because you may have been wondering, how can I make it through? Here's the answer, the armor of God. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, what does your Bible say? To stand. Okay, this is what I want to put into your heart. Stand, and when it's over, remain standing. How can you remain standing? It's because you didn't die. You didn't give up. You didn't give in. You didn't lose. How can you avoid losing? Stand firm. Put on the full armor of God. Remember what you're made of. Remember, it's not your strength, it's his strength. You have aid and assistance from the Holy Spirit, who can do in you, through you, and for you what you cannot do for yourself. Remain standing. Stand firm. Stick to it. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stand firm. Once you make that decision firmly, then you'll do everything you need to do in order to be strong. Don't give in. Don't give up. When Yeshua spoke to those people in sad condition, you know what his message was? Your present condition is not your future condition. Back to Isaiah 61, and with this we close. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you have a broken heart, it can be healed. You can be healed. To proclaim freedom to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. That's the good news Yeshua proclaimed. That's the good news you and I need to receive. Now, I want to close by praying for you. If you could identify yourself as being in any of those conditions of need, stand up, raise your hand, wiggle your little finger, raise a few eyebrows, whatever you've got that moves, lift it up to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Hineni. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that your plans are clear. Your purposes are established forever. And you have called us to stand and to remain standing. You have called us through the time of testing and challenge into the time of blessing. And I pray, Lord, for everyone who could identify themselves with these various needs, I pray, Lord, that their hearts would receive your proclamation, your prophetic word about healing the broken hearts, about bringing comfort and consolation to those who mourn, about exchanging heaviness with praise. Thank you, Lord, for your great victory. Thank you for your great provision. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close now with Aaron's blessing. And remember, let your children join you on Thursday for Rosh Hashanah. Take them out of school. Let your work know you won't be there, you'll be here. Join us Wednesday night.
I just want to say something.
Yeah.
Shabbat shalom. I want to say something.
Can we have the microphone on for Sandy?
Quickly about our Oneg. And when I want David to understand, you know, something like how much we've traveled or how many places we slept during the time that we travel, and I would just say, I'm tired, that didn't do it. But when I'd add it all up and say, this many cities, this many weeks we traveled, that he could get that. It was concrete. So I just want to remind you that if every person that comes every weekend, Friday night, Saturday, has a refreshment at Oneg, that's more than 20,000 servings a year. Now, you add up the other holidays and our Russian services and things like that, then we can begin to understand that a team of 10 people or 8 people, really, that's a lot to expect of anybody. So let's just remember this 20,000 servings a year. And if we all pitch in, then it won't be so many for each of us to have to do. And I know so many of us are hostesses at home, and that just understanding the magnitude of that maybe will help us all decide to lend a hand. Thank you, Kat Ott.
Thank you for your concrete encouragement. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua.